Every year, the NPR Book Concierge brings you a sortable, browsable guide to some of the best books of the year, fiction and nonfiction. And there's very little we like more than chatting with smart people about books. I'm Linda Holmes, and today we're talking about great books about the United States on Pop Culture Happy Hour from NPR, so don't go away.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Capital One. Welcome to banking reimagined. Capital One checking and savings accounts have no fees or minimums and a top-rated banking app that lets you manage your money anytime, anywhere. Check on the account balance, deposit checks, pay bills, and transfer money on the go. This is banking reimagined. What's in your wallet? Capital One N.A., member FDIC.
Welcome back. Joining us are two of our pals from NPR's Code Switch podcast. Joining us from her home in Los Angeles is Code Switch co-host Shireen Marisol Meraji. Welcome back, Shireen.
Thank you for having me back.
And making her Pop Culture Happy Hour debut, joining us from her home in Los Angeles is Code Switch senior correspondent Karen Grigsby Bates. Welcome at last, Karen.
I am so thrilled. First time caller, long time listener.
Well, we are absolutely delighted that you're here. And what we asked you to do, we asked each of you to bring us two books that were part of your submissions to the Book Concierge. And you can find all the books about the United States under the tag The States We're in the Book Concierge. So if you want to go find all those books, look them up under The States We're In. Shireen, why don't you tell me about your first pick?
Okay. So my first pick is Inventing Latinos, A New Story of American Racism by Laura E. Gomez. Basically, Latinos are the second largest demographic here in the United States, but a lot of people ask the question, is Latino a race? Is it an ethnicity? What is it? So in this book, Laura Gomez makes the argument that Latino is a race. And this is a controversial argument for a couple of reasons, Linda. One is that Latinos come from all different racial backgrounds. So, you know, how can Latino be one race? Well, UCLA law professor Laura Gomez makes her case by examining the ways that American colonialism in Latin America and laws here in the United States have really played this role in denying Latinos full and equal participation in American life, racializing Latinos here in the United States, regardless of what race they're considered in Latin America. And she writes a lot about the discrimination of Mexican Americans in particular. People living in the United States who are of Mexican origin make up at least 65% of the Latinos who are living here in the United States. And she tells two stories of two Mexican-American men in the book that really stuck with me. Juan Romero is one of them. He was a teenage busboy when Robert Kennedy was shot and killed in Los Angeles. He held him in his arms while Kennedy was bleeding to death. He gave Kennedy his rosary. It's really a heartbreaking story. And then she also writes about Mariano Martinez, who is this businessman from Dallas. He invented the frozen margarita machine.
Oh, wow.
So these are two very different stories. But both of these men never felt like they were treated as if they were American, as if they belonged here. And I had a chance to talk to Laura about why she chose to tell their stories.
It was the juxtaposition of their marginality with the fact that, can you think of anything more American than frozen margaritas, right? You know, and Mexican food today.
And can you think of anything more American than, like, cradling this icon of a politician during his last moments?
Yeah.
So once again, that's Inventing Latinos, A New Story of American Racism, and the author is Laura E. Gomez.
All right. Excellent. Thank you so much, Shireen. Karen, tell me about your first pick.
My first pick is a novelist called A Good Neighborhood by Therese Ann Fowler. It's a lot of things. It's sort of a sociological treatise. It's a romance. It takes place in a place called Oaknall, which is a fictional sort of mildly integrated university community in North Carolina. Think Raleigh-Durham in that direction. The protagonist is Valerie Alston Holt, who is a widowed botanist, actually, and she teaches at the nearby university. This never named, it's just the university. Her husband was a white Southerner whose family kind of distanced itself from him when she and her husband got married. In fact, one of the relatives said, you know, well, I told him at the time, why can't you just sleep with her? Why do you have to marry her? What are you doing to our family? Before the husband died, they had a biracial child, Xavier, who turns out to be something of a musical prodigy. So he's been brought up in this very protected, purposefully integrated, loving environment that changes when the Alston Holts get new neighbors. And the tensions just spiral, spiral, and spiral till they reach a point that is cinematic in its conclusion and that I sort of thought wasn't going to happen anyway. There's a very Romeo and Juliet underpinning here because the two teenagers in the families that are growing more and more tense with each other actually fall in love. And it leads to a really unfortunate denouement. We're told this in the beginning. There's a sort of Greek chorus that is one of the unnamed neighbors who says, this didn't end well, but to find out why it didn't end well, we have to go back to the beginning. To me, it was kind of a look at how far we think we've come compared to how far we have yet to go and the great chasm that exists between those two. And I just thought it was a really thoughtful, interesting book. And I'm going to be so annoyed if Netflix, with all of its tons of money, or Amazon Prime or Oprah or somebody, doesn't turn this into a series like Little Fires Everywhere.
Yeah. So that is A Good Neighborhood by Therese Ann Fowler.
Yes.
All right. Shireen, what is your second pick?
My second pick is The Undocumented Americans by Carla Cornejo Villavicencio. She's also a Latina writer. And this is also nonfiction. In The Undocumented Americans, I feel like Carla is really giving a middle finger to the sad immigrant eventually achieves the American dream trope that's out there. She was actually approached to write a memoir at 21, about a decade prior to this book coming out.
And I knew what they wanted, which was they wanted like a devastating border crossing story. And they wanted me to write about like how I was born in a literal ditch and I made it to Harvard. And I was disgusted by that.
So instead, in The Undocumented Americans, Carla writes about people she assumes most Americans ignore. Undocumented immigrants who work as housekeepers, construction workers, delivery people, people like her parents, she says in the book. And she makes these people interesting, complicated human beings who are way more than their immigration status. She really wants the world to see them as more than these workers, these laborers who suffer all day. But, you know, weirdos like all of us with hopes and dreams and, you know, weird things that they love. Carla was a finalist for the National Book Award. For this book, by the way. And President Obama just put The Undocumented Americans on his list of best books of 2020. So if you don't believe me, those are two other really good recommendations. And Linda, when it comes to her writing, I really love how she plays, first of all, with our understanding of nonfiction and of memoir. You know, it's not a straight memoir. She's weaving her story with the stories of people she meets in five different cities. And then you're not sure if it's really nonfiction, because she says up front in the book that she only took notes by hand. She didn't record any of the people that she interviewed. And she says their names have been changed, places' names have been changed, physical descriptions have been changed. And then she adds, or have they? So you're kind of like, what? She leaves it up to you to decide, you know, what's fact and what's fiction and whether that even matters. So I thought this was an amazing book. She is a powerful writer. She makes a lot of lists in this book, but her lists even make you feel very deeply. She has this long list of all the toxins undocumented cleanup crews were exposed to after 9/11. She has another long list of the kinds of random things her father had to deliver to office buildings in Manhattan as a quote unquote delivery boy. That's what they were called. Anyway, this book is fantastic. It'll make you feel all the feels. It's not that long. And yeah, I highly recommend it.
The Undocumented Americans by Carla Cornejo Villavicencio.
Yes.
Karen, give me your second pick.
My second pick is called When No One Is Watching, a thriller, and it's by Alyssa Cole. Alyssa is better known as a romance writer, a prolific romance writer, and also sort of an activist in this diversifying romance genre. And this is her first stab, no pun intended, but at a thriller, and I think she did a really good job. The plot is pretty twisty. It's a neighborhood in Brooklyn that is gentrifying at a breakneck pace. A lot of its longtime residents on one specific block are elderly and Black, and they've just been disappearing. You know, the assumption is they've gone to live with their grown children somewhere else, or they've gone into assisted living because they were getting kind of fragile. But it's unusual because they haven't come by to say goodbye. You know, there's no goodbye party. It's just a little weird. The person who notices this is Sydney Green, who was born and raised on this block. She's escaped an abusive marriage to a man that everybody thought was perfect for her, and she's come back from the West Coast to return to her childhood brownstone, which she has some feelings about. She feels like, I grew up in this, you know, this isn't progress, my marriage didn't work out. But her mother has also been really, really ill, and so she comes home to help take care of her. When she starts to notice that all these people are starting to sort of disappear, and the more she asks after them and receives these unsatisfactory answers, the more she starts to push to find out what's happening in the neighborhood. And the more you start to feel there's something really creepy happening here. There's even, one of my favorite parts, a website that sounds an awful lot like the website nextdoor.com, where they have a lot of people in neighborhoods who are exchanging information, but also saying, I saw a suspicious man walking down the street. He's a Black guy with a hoodie. You need to keep your eye out for him, neighbors. Uh-huh. And the white gentrifiers in the neighborhood have formed a subgroup, a sort of secret cabal, to try to figure out how to move gentrification along more swiftly and make it a neighborhood that they will be comfortable in being, and hopefully make it the majority. There is a little bit of love interest in this. One of the new arrivals sort of notices some of the same things that she does, and together they kind of band together to find out what's actually going on in the neighborhood. And it gets more and more sort of Dr. Doomish as we move along. And it has what I thought was a very satisfying conclusion. There's race, class, conspiracy, history, some romance in this. And if you like your stories on the creepy side, on the suspense side, on the, oh, are they going to actually get out of this side? This is a good book for you. Just don't read it while you're home by yourself.
Oh. I want to get this one.
Yeah, yeah, I really enjoyed it. And the audiobook is very satisfying.
Ah, it sounds very menacing indeed. I'm putting that on my list also. So these are four great picks. If you want more book recommendations across a number of genres, make sure to check out NPR's Book Concierge. As I said, books like this you can find under the tag The States We're In. And you can find that concierge at npr.org/bestbooks. Karen and Shireen, thank you so much for being here.
Thanks, Linda. This was fun.
Thanks for having us.
And make sure that you subscribe to Shireen and Karen's podcast, Code Switch, recently named Apple's first ever podcast of the year. You can find that wherever you get your podcasts. And of course, thank you for listening to Pop Culture Happy Hour from NPR. We will see you all tomorrow.
With civil unrest, the pandemic, and the economic crisis, you want to know what's happening right when you wake up. And that's why there is Up First, the news you need in about 10 minutes from NPR News. Listen every day.